Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Oh, good morning. Well, it might be afternoon for you. Shanghai Community Fellowship, brothers and sisters, it's lovely to be here with you again today, giving you the message from our Lord. Before we start, let's just say a word of prayer. Abba Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be with us, Emmanuel, that in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and through him we may come before your throne of grace. We thank you for your loving presence in our lives. Lord, we pray today that you may speak through my words here today, that my heart and mind be aligned with yours, that this message that we may receive from you, that you may speak to us in a very personal way today, and that you'll move us into even a closer relationship with our loving Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was growing up in Southern Africa, my parents would move constantly. It was my father's job, and they moved actually about over 40 times, if you could believe that. And I also went off to boarding school in some schools, and then when I wanted to go home, it was another location. So we moved so many times, and I shifted schools so many times that it was very difficult, in fact, to get to know people really, really well. And as soon as I started to get to know friends, I was off to another location. And this happened throughout my life as I moved throughout the world. And we, in fact, as expats, as probably you, many of you are, who have moved in the world, had to face moving constantly. And every time you go to a place, you find some friends, get to know them, and then you have to move on again. And it was really difficult to get to know them. And sometimes that causes us to even distance ourselves from those friends, knowing that sooner or later you're going to have to say a goodbye to them. But today we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about Emmanuel. Pastor Dale has been repeating it over the last few weeks. This month we're doing Christmas in July. Emmanuel, God with us. That isn't it great to know that Emmanuel, Jesus, is with us. He lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we have him living in us every day. And the big question is how do you respond? How do you interact with this Jesus who is living with and in you every day of your life? How do you respond to Jesus? We're going to continue today as we see the next slide that Emily, thankfully, will be putting up so that you can see it clearly. I try to draw a diagram to help you understand the timeline of Jesus's ministry. Now, Jesus, when he was somewhere around 30 years old, He only started his ministry then, which lasted 3 to 3.5 years. And then he went to the cross. And many times to help us to understand the ministry of Jesus Christ, we dissect that up into sections, periods, so that we can help to understand. It helps us to understand kind of what was happening throughout the ministry of Jesus. And you'll see on that diagram that there is the early Judean ministry, then there's the Galilean ministry, which is broken up into early, middle, and later Galilean ministry period, and then finally the later Judean or Perean ministry before Jesus then goes to the cross, that last week, that Passion Week before he goes to the cross. And this is kind of like the layout of those 3.5 years. And what I've done is on the diagram there, I've illustrated it, and I've used, in fact, the Jordan Valley. Hopefully you've seen a little bit of Israel. You know what it is, that there's the Jordan River that goes, you know, from north to south. And then there's a valley that goes up from down by Jerusalem, by the Dead Sea, and goes up the valley, slowly rises up, and then goes into the Sea of Galilee, and then progresses from the Sea of Galilee up towards Mount Hermon. And I've illustrated those in that timeline to help you get a little bit more of an illustration. From left to right is kind of like the time split into more or less 6 month segments. And today we're going to be exploring that area on that graph, which is in gray, which is basically from the feeding of the 5,000 by the Sea of Galilee to the coming towards Jerusalem before Jesus went to the cross. And I want to point out, using this diagram, so that you help to understand the progression of what has happened in Jesus' ministry. Of this Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel with us, to see the response of different people to Jesus. Now, Pastor Dale has pointed out in the first few weeks, he's pointed out that birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called Emmanuel. And he's pointed at the end of Matthew is showing the Great Commission, where Jesus says, "And I'll be with you always until the end of the age," that Jesus is with us always. And then he went on to show the different stages of Jesus' walk in his ministry. And last week we started to see that people had responded to Jesus, the miracles that were happening. And then we start to see this decrease in popularity of Jesus. So Jesus starts to get some resistance of various people at that time. And to point out this, I mean, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had stubborn hearts. They were fixed to their traditions and their interpretation of old scripture. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and they resisted him considerably. And we saw that in the last few weeks. Now, in that diagram, we can see that, in fact, it's up in the early and middle stages of the Galilean ministry of Jesus that all of this was happening that Pastor Dale took us through, which is up until Matthew 14. And so before this, we could see that not only did the Pharisees and the Sadducees pushing against Jesus, rejecting him, but we also see something in that section where Jesus actually says, "Woe!" The three woes, the woes to these cities, woe to Capernaum, woe to Bethsaida, woe to Chorazin. These three cities, in fact, were the three cities that Jesus spent most of his time in the Galilean ministry. And in fact, many of the people, Jesus said that, "You've seen so many signs and miracles. These signs are pointing towards the Son of God, the Emmanuel, and yet you still don't believe." And so Jesus, in a sense, almost cursed these three cities, where in fact he was spending most of his time, because people were not responding to Jesus. We also see last week, Pastor Dale went through the parable of the weeds, that we know that the hearts of people in receiving that message are going to receive it in different ways. Some are going to just not understand it, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're going to reject that word. Some are going to receive it with joy, and they're going to fall away when the persecution comes. Some are going to love the world and money and those things more than they do Jesus, and they're going to fall away. And we saw all of that, this build-up, this, in fact, popularity that was decreasing as we go throughout that Galilean ministry. And then we come to the next slide. So what I want to speak to you about is that first response. And I split today's message into two things. One is the response from the majority, and then the response from the few. And we first talk about that response from the majority, We saw the Pharisees' rejection, Sadducees' rejection. We saw even the many people where Jesus performed many miracles were rejecting Jesus. And we saw so many people not responding to the message. I want to point out something, and I'm going to take now from John. In fact, it's from the book of John, chapter 6. This was, as we start in this gray area on that map, that I just show you, the timeline, is the later Galilean ministry. And it starts off with John the Baptist in Matthew there, in Matthew chapter 14, that he is beheaded. And then we see the feeding of the 5,000. I want to take from John, because after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus performed an amazing miracle and he fed the 5,000. Then these people who were fed there, they were looking for Jesus. They were trying to find Jesus, and eventually they caught up to Jesus and they found him on the other side of the Galilean lake, the Sea of Galilee. And this is what John says. So I'm going to read from John chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. It says this. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, now they're talking to Jesus, they said, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. I've highlighted those words in bright there to show that Jesus was reflecting on their hearts. They were looking for Jesus not because he was the Messiah. They were looking for him so that they could be satisfied, their bodies could be satisfied, their hunger could be satisfied. And Jesus continued to say in verse 27, he says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So Jesus is clarifying what the hearts of those people who were looking for him were. They were not in the right position. They then went on to ask Jesus, they asked him for a sign. We want a sign from you that you are the Son of God. We want a sign from you to show what you're saying is true. And they said that we had manna. The Israelites ate manna in the wilderness back then. And Jesus corrected them. And he says, it's not Moses that gave the food, but it is my Father in heaven who will give you the true bread from heaven, meaning himself. And then Jesus goes on to make a declaration. And he says this. Now many people were there, as well as his disciples, listening to these words. And then Jesus declared in verses 35 of John 6. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. See, Jesus again is showing the hearts of the people. You have seen me. You have seen my miracles, and you still do not believe. And then Jesus went on to say, he says, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. How did they respond to this? Now I want to point out here, this is the majority of people who are following Jesus. They had followed him because of the miracles he had done. He had fed them. Jesus pointed out their hearts that they were not right. But there were also disciples, many disciples who had followed Jesus in the crowd. This is, was their response. This was the response of his disciples who were the people. And we look at verses 60 and 67 in the next slide. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus turned to his disciples and he says, "You do not," he turned to the 12, he said, do you not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. I wanted to point out this from John because John's gospel was written quite some time after the three other gospels. And he was filling in this most important fact that people who were following Jesus responded in many different ways. And here we can actually see that these were his disciples. These were the many who had given up things to follow Jesus. They had followed Jesus. And yet right now, when Jesus was speaking the essentials of the truth, they decided to leave him and not to continue following him. Our question to you, brothers and sisters, is there anything that Jesus is teaching you, telling you, asking you to do that you think it's too hard a teaching? That you are falling away because Jesus is trying to align you with his will? Are there things in your life that are causing you to turn away from Jesus? This happened with the many. And so now turning from the many, I'm going to go back then to this diagram that I had, the timeline again. As we see that many turned, this was the response from the many people, the majority in fact, turned away from Jesus. Now after this happened, this was at the gray part in that timeline that you see on the screen there. That feeding of the 5,000. After that, more clashes happened again. Even though many turned away from him, the Pharisees continued to badger Jesus and to press on to him. And what you'll notice in that timeline there is that in the beginning, people received Jesus well because of all of the miracles. And then they started, the popularity of Jesus started to go down. And now you see in this gray area and up until the cross, we see now the opposition to Jesus increasing tenfold. The Pharisees pounding on Jesus. And we see then Jesus starts to retreat with fewer of his disciples. Those disciples that had hung on to the end. He then went off to Tyre and Sidon, which is in fact in the Lebanon region, to get away from all these other people, to be with his disciples. These were the few who were still following Jesus after many had left him. And then he came back to the Sea of Galilee and he performed another miracle that we see in Matthew of feeding of the 4,000. But even after that, people continued to ask Jesus for a sign. And Jesus was talking about the yeast of the Pharisees, that they talk about all these traditions, all of these things that are going to spread throughout people, these bad teachings that are going to cause people, in fact, to turn away from Jesus. And so Jesus at this time, and this is what I want to point out in this timeline, we see this, the mount that goes up there. Jesus takes his disciples away from the Sea of Galilee, goes up the Jordan River towards Mount Hermon. And he stops, but the base of Mount Hermon is a place called Caesarea Philippi. And he takes them up to that region. Who were these people? Who were the disciples? And I want to now picture, who were the disciples who continued to walk with Jesus closely? So let's now have a look at the response from the few. The disciples. So in the next slide, I'm going to point out what were the hearts of those disciples who really followed Jesus. how we look at a number of places in the Gospels, and we see, in fact, that the disciples had given up everything to follow Jesus. We look at Luke 5:11. It says, when Jesus called Peter, James, and John, what did they do? They left everything and followed him. Everything. They left it and they followed him. Later on in Luke 27, and again, Jesus called Levi, who was sitting at the tax booth. And what did Levi do when he was called? Jesus said, "Follow me." And Levi got up, he left everything and followed him. And again in Matthew, which we'll see a little bit later, Peter answered him when Jesus was saying to the rich young man that he should give up everything and follow him. You know, Jesus was saying, well, it's near to impossible for a rich man to give up everything and follow. And Peter said to him, he says, well, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? So we can see that the disciples, these 12 disciples in essence, and there were a few more of those who really followed Jesus, they had given up everything to follow Jesus. These were the disciples. These were the few that Jesus took with him to these secluded areas, to these areas where he could focus now on the few. Now we look at this essential part of Matthew's gospel. I kind of see it as these next two areas as being the pinnacle kind of what was happening. As Jesus was leading these few to this incredibly important message. And we read from Matthew 16, verses 13 to 17. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, to help you understand, Jesus had taken them up not only to be in a secluded area, but he came to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And this is a location where, in fact, the Jordan River, it's kind of like a source of the Jordan River, where the river is feeding the Jordan River right upstream. And it's like a cave. There's a cave in the cliff there where you go into this cave and there's huge amounts of water that are just coming out and starting to feed the river. And so many people in history were mesmerized by this, thinking, oh, this must be an amazing god. So they started worshiping gods in this place because it was so majestic and amazing. It was, in fact, the birthplace of the god Pan, and scattered with different temples to Baal worshippers and idols. And there was every idol you can think of scattered in this place. And this is the exact place when Jesus took the disciples, the few, and seeing all these other gods that people were following, there is where he asked them, now who do you think I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Jesus is asking. The same as Jesus is asking you continually. Who do you say I am? This was a question directed to the few. Now I trust that I'm speaking to many people today who believe that they are the few. The few who have given up much to follow Jesus. And Jesus now, even to his followers and his close followers, are asking you today, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answers by saying, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. These few had seen Jesus' miracles. They had walked with him, followed him. And not like the other disciples or the other people who were seeking other things. They understood that Jesus was the Messiah who they had been waiting for. And he's the Son of the living God. And they said, living God, because all of these other idols that were there in Caesarea Philippi are all idols, dead idols made out of rock and stone and wooden carvings and dead idols. The living God who is living in you and me who have received Jesus Christ. This is an extremely important part of the gospel, this challenge of Jesus. And he challenges all of us to come to that understanding that he is the true Son of God. Now, just after this happened, now remember that these are true believers in Christ who have been following him, that just after Peter had declared that he was the Son of the living God, this is what happened. Jesus then went on to help them, because the few, he wanted them to understand what was going to happen so that when he died and rose from the dead, they would carry on Jesus' ministry in the world. And so Jesus started to tell them what was going to happen. And he said this in Matthew 16:21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. So how did Peter respond? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter was rebuking Jesus. And he said, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Does this happen with you? It happens with me sometimes. When we do not know what the will of God is, we choose to make our own will our direction in life, and we want to go off in our direction. Yet Jesus, God, has a direction he wants to take us. Emmanuel, living in us, wants us to go in another direction. He is pointing us there, and yet we want to go on our road. And when Jesus tells us this, we rebuke him and say, "No, Jesus, I don't want that. This is the way it should be." And see how Jesus then answers Peter. He says to him, he says, "Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." And then he says this, "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." You see that? Human concerns based on worldly values versus the incredible will of God, which is so different to the way we treat things in our lives. How about you, brothers and sisters? Are there things in your life that cause you to go off in another direction against God's will? One of the questions today, Emmanuel with us, God with us. Are you walking with him or are you walking away from him? Are you trying in your prayers to direct Jesus towards your own path? Or are you willing to follow Jesus completely? Now, Jesus had to correct them. Not only once there did he tell them that he has got to go to die upon the cross. He repeated it three times to make sure that they understood it. The first time Peter rejected it. Then again, as he came down, in fact, we see that he goes up to the high mount and he's transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And as he comes down from the mountain again, he then repeats it and he says this in Matthew 17:22. He says, "When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised to life.' And the disciples were filled with grief." Yes, they were filled with grief. But do you see Peter rebuking Jesus now? No. Jesus had corrected Peter. And now Peter was falling into line. And they were grieved because now they had accepted this truth. That was the second time Jesus repeated after that. Then again, when Jesus came down from Galilee and he was just about to go into Jerusalem towards the cross, he repeated again in chapter 20, verse 17. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside again, the few, the 12 disciples, and he said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." This was the will of the Father in heaven. Jesus was obeying the Father. Jesus was following that will, the will of God, and he was walking towards his death upon the cross. It was so important that the disciples, the few, responded the right way to understand that this was his, a major part of his mission to go to the cross. That this was a call. They had to be aligned with his will. And so that is the importance of the message that Jesus was trying to get across before he went to the cross. And then we look at this scripture that is a focus point of today as well. I've given you the whole background of what has been happening. And we see now, we go back to the time when Peter rebuked Jesus and told him, "No, you're not going to go and die." And Jesus then rebuked him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." And Jesus then corrected Peter. How did he correct him? We need to look at that. Because that is the true response that Jesus is looking for from believers who have given up everything, who are following him, who believe that he is the Son of God, the living God, the Messiah. This is the response he was looking for. He says this in chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Wow. Now we can start to really understand, having seen that background, what Jesus wants us to respond, the way that he wants us to respond in following him, in being a true disciple. The word disciple on its own meant, at that time, being a protege. There was a normal practice in those days. They would follow someone to learn, and that's why they called Jesus rabbi. They called him teacher, because they wanted to learn from him and become more like him. But then they started to truly realize that he was in fact the Son of God, the Messiah. And the focus here now is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, telling his disciples, this is what I want you to do in response. Deny yourself. Many of them, as you'd seen, had given up everything. And so I want to ask you, what, brothers and sisters, have you given up to follow Jesus? And then he says, take up their cross and follow him. So the second thing is, take up your cross and follow me. What does it mean to take up the cross? It doesn't mean you've got to give up all the things that you're doing now in your life and whatever it is and become a minister. No, that's not what he's talking about. Is talking about our whole attitudes, everything we are. As we saw the attitudes of those that followed Jesus just for food, so that they could have the riches of this world or food to eat and the pleasures of this world, they were seeking him for the worldly things. Our attitudes is to be able to give up those things, to crucify the things that will take our hearts and our minds away from following Jesus and obeying what Jesus taught us. that we are to take up our crosses daily so that we follow Jesus' will, not our own. That we deny ourselves, we deny these worldly values that we've been taught and brought up with. That we align ourselves with godly values. That we understand that Jesus wants us to be aligned with His will, not our own. That we follow Him completely. Now, Jesus pointed out how important that was when He showed. He says, whoever wants to save their life, in other words, whoever wants to save this worldly life, which is temporary, will in fact lose it. They will lose this eternity, this life with Jesus eternal. But whoever loses their life for me, for Jesus, they are the ones who will have eternal life. What is your attitude? What is your attitude to what Jesus is saying right here? What is your response to Jesus? So I want to end by summing this up. We were asking, what is your response to Emmanuel? Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus Christ was born and His name was Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus rose from the dead, He came to the disciples, gave them the Great Commission and told them, lo and behold, I am with you until the end of the ages. Emmanuel, God with us. What is your response to Jesus? Are you someone who's hearing this message who hasn't accepted Jesus before? Accept Jesus. Believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God who came to give up His life so that your sins may be forgiven. That when you believe in Jesus Christ, He comes to live in us. He sends the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we are in God. Jesus in us and we are in Him. That He works in our lives. And that with Jesus, if you are that person who has already accepted Jesus in your life and you are following Jesus, learn from today's message where you see many people turning away from Jesus because it was too hard. They wanted the things in the world instead of wanting what Jesus wanted. Many rejected Him. Many fell away from Him. But the few who accepted Him, followed Him, they gave up much to be with Christ. Jesus corrected them. He corrected their following of their own will to say, not your will, but my will be done. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me, is what Jesus is saying. What is your response to Emmanuel, Jesus in you and me? Let us pray. Abba Father, we give You thanks. We praise Your holy name. For in Your great wisdom, You sent Your Son, the Son of God, the Messiah. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to come to this world. And in the scriptures, we see and we understand that ministry of Jesus, Your Son. He was pointing towards You, helping people to know You better. He was living out a life that was directed towards the cross. And Abba Father, You gave Him those few disciples who followed Him. And You exposed the truth to them that they would know that He is the Messiah, the true living God, the Son of God. I pray that You stir up our hearts that we may have confidence, full confidence in our belief and our faith that Jesus Christ is Your Son, the living God. And He lives in us. We are in Jesus and Jesus is in us, we who have accepted and made Jesus Lord over our lives. I pray that You will help to open our eyes that we may know your will, that we may not pray and ask you to follow our will or rebuke you when you ask us to follow in your ways, but may our wills be aligned completely with yours. That Emmanuel, God with us, we may be aligned and we may say, Jesus, what is your will for us today? What is your will? Where are you working? What are you doing? Help us so that we may join you. Let us not ask, God, join us. Jesus, join us. But let us say, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, show us the way that we may follow you with all of our hearts and minds and strength and souls, our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.